We continue our learning. Lelenishmas David ben Menachem Misha Micham Yaakov Penichos Delei Yowirin Gittin Paragimel Mishnah Vav. Hamevi Get Mimidina Sayam V'Chola. Here's a person delivering a get from overseas, not as we said in the previous Mishnah where he's coming from Eretz Yisrael itself, or within Eretz Yisrael. Here's someone who has to say the words Befanai Nechtav. So, but he's now sick and he wants to appoint another shaliach. But that other shaliach can't say the words, this get was written and signed in front of me because it's not true. So what does this first shaliach do? Ozeh Beis Din. He makes for himself a Beis Din, gathers a Beis Din, umishalcho, and then he is able to, the Beis Din is able to appoint another shaliach, and that shaliach is going to be sent to deliver their get. V'omer lefneim, and what does the first shaliach say in front of the Beis Din? Befanai nechtav. This get was written and signed in front of me. V'ena shaliach ha'achon yizorech yomar, the second shaliach doesn't need to say, he can't say, this was written and signed in front of me. What does he do when he delivers the get? Ella Omer, shaliach Beis Din ani. So he says, I'm a shaliach Beis Din. We assume if he says that, he's an agent of the court, so it must be that the court took care of things properly, and indeed that the original shaliach did see the signing and the writing of the get, and therefore saying shaliach Beis Din ani when he delivers the get to the woman is sufficient. Perek Imo Mishnah Zayin. Hamel So the case is like this. You have a person who is lending money to a Kohen or to a Levi or to an Ani. Now these are people who have the rights to a portion of a person's crops. So a Kohen has the right to the Truma, the Levi to the Maaser, and the Ani to the Maaser Ani. So therefore, this person, let's say Reuven is lending money to Shimon. Shimon is a Kohen or a Levi or an Ani. So here, Reuven doesn't want Shimon to have to pay him back. Rather, this is the procedure that's going to be done in order that Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven back. So Leos Mafrish Alein Mechelkan, as payment for the loan. So Reuven wants to hold on to the Truma and the Maser or the Maser Ani himself. Now, he obviously can't eat Truma. He's not a Kohen. A Levi, he has to separate Maser Rishon, but Maser Rishon officially can be eaten by Yisrael. So as long as he separates it out, he's okay. And as long as he separates the Trumas Maser from that Maser Rishon, he's okay. And Maser Ani too. A person officially can eat Maser Ani, even though he's not poor. So what's happening here is that this Kohen or the Levi or the poor person are people who are the recipients of these particular gifts. So as payment of this loan, so the Reuven is going to hold on to these things. Now, as we said, the Maaser and the Maaser Rishon and the if you separate the Trumas Maaser from it or the Maaser Ani, so that officially he can eat because, after all, these people really owe him money. So instead of them paying him back, he's going to hold on, he's going to retain these gifts for himself and eat them himself. What about the Truma? So the Truma he can't eat, but he can sell the Truma to another Kohen, so he's going to do that. So the different ways to understand how this works. If, let's say, this Kohen and Levi or poor person are usually the recipients of this person's Truma, Maser, and Maser, so then this way no other Aniim or Kohanim or Levim are planning. They don't have in mind they're going to be taking Reuven's things because Reuven always gives it to these particular people. So now he's lending them money, but he usually gives the gifts to them. So now instead of them paying him back, he's going to hold on to those gifts. So that's the case when he separates all of these things, whether it's the Truma or the Maaser Ani, with intent that they're going to be for these people. It's as if they've already received it from him, and therefore he's able to collect that debt that they owe from them in this manner. Of course, once again, the Truma is going to have to sell to another coin, but he can keep that money. Let's say these people are not. He doesn't have specific people, Kohanim, Levim, or Anim that he gives to. So then the Bar Tanura says here, based on the Gemara, he needs Eino Yachol La'akvan B'chovo. He can't just hold on to them. Ad sheyizkelem al-yedei acher tchila. He needs a third party who's going to acquire them on their behalf. Bizoche and them for these people, and then he can keep them for himself as the money that's owed. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Now, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? So this relates to previous Mishnayos in the following way. Mafrish alein b'cheska shehen kayamin. What it means is that even, let's say, these borrowers, the Kohen, Levi, are not present. So this lender is able to separate the Truma, Maser, Maser Ani with the assumption that these people are still alive. You don't have to be afraid that maybe the Kohen died, or the Levi died, or maybe the Ani is not an Ani anymore. He can rely on their status. They have a chazaka that they're still alive, the Ches Ches Chaim, as we've mentioned in the past. And the same thing when it comes to the poor person. We assume that he's still poor. We don't, it's not Shachiach will become so wealthy. And therefore, he has the right to assume they're alive and separate these things out, assuming that they would go to them and, of course, transfer back to him. What about Mesu? Let's say they died. Now, the estate of these people fall to their children. But now there's a debt that's owed to this person, to Reuven. Whether the person who passed away was the Kohen who's entitled to Truma and who got this loan from Reuven, or it's the Levi entitled to Maser Rishon, or the Ani who's entitled to Maser Ani. So either way, there's the true Maser Rishon or Maser Ani. How is able to keep them for themselves for himself if now the Yorshim are the ones who inherit the property? Can you just keep them? So the based on the Gemara of Mitzvah Daf Yud Gimel, we have to that when it comes to paying back, when it comes to paying back a loan, so let's say a father passed away, he owed money, and now the estate falls to the Yorshim. So we have to be speaking about a case where the debt is written in a shtar, and that those who inherited the property, who inherited from from their father who passed away, whether it be the Levi, the borrower, the Levi, the Kohen, or the Ani, there's karka, there's real estate that falls to them. So how does this work? So if now these people who borrowed money died, so the Reuven, the lender, needs permission. That's what it means. Mesu Tzarech Litol Reshus Min HaYorshim. He has to receive permission from the Yorshim before he can keep the Truma Maser or the Maser Rishon Maser Ani as the payment of his debt. Why? Because maybe these Yorshim would rather hold on to those gifts, the Maser or the Truma, and repay the debt, which they have the right to do. He didn't make a deal with them. He didn't deal with their father. And therefore, he needs permission from them. Im Hilvan Bifnei based. But let's say Reuven lent the money to the Kohen Levi, a poor person, in front of a court. And part of that was a condition that he gets to collect this debt from the Truma or Maaser, as we explained. So, but now this was done in a court. Then Eino Tzarech Litol Reshus Min HaYorshim. In these circumstances, so even though the borrowers may have died, the Reuven, the lender, is able to collect the debt from the Truma, the Maaser, whatever, and he doesn't need permission from the Yorshim. The borrower's not alive anymore. That may be true, that he would have to ask permission when there's no Beis Din. But once this was done under the jurisdiction of Beis Din, there's no need for him to ask for permission to keep these gifts for himself as payment of the loan, because it's assumed that Beis Din has the authority in order to ensure that's going to be his.